Dude, Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, you can find him at restaurants, grocery stores, and farmers markets. And with some know-how, care, and patience, you can also grow mushrooms right at home. A Wisconsin mushroom expert tells us how to get started. First, two big election polls came out this week, and they both had very different results. The Marquette University Law School's latest poll showed Governor Scott Walker with a one-point lead over Democrat Tony Evers. But just yesterday, an NBC Marist poll showed Evers up by 10 points over Walker in a head-to-head matchup, an 8-point lead with third-party candidates included. So what do we do when we see two polls with two drastically different results? Harry Enten is a senior writer and analyst for CNN Politics and our go-to guy on polling. Harry, welcome back.
My pleasure to be back.
So when you see, Harry, the same race, day or so apart in a poll and a big difference like that, what do you start digging into to see why they might be so far apart?
Well, I think number one, what I'll point out is obviously all these polls have margins of error, right? So when I see two results that are different, I don't necessarily panic. I say, okay, maybe something, it's just a statistical noise. But then I dig a little deeper and I say to myself, okay, if it's not statistical noise, what might be causing this? And in this case, there is one major difference between the two polls, and that is that Marquette weighted by education levels and Marist didn't. And one of the beliefs that we have of why the polls got everything wrong in the Midwest in 2016 was there weren't enough non-college educated white voters in them. And, of course, those voters tend to be more Republican, and since Marquette did weight by education, it could be that they are weighting up those non-college-educated whites that Marist simply isn't. And it's possible, certainly not saying that it's definite, but it's possible that's why Marquette chose a lower total for Tony Evers versus Walker and why Marquette may be a little closer to the truth.
So pollsters are looking at the demographics of the people that they reach in the random surveys and saying, okay, there's that, and how does it compare to the realistic demographic breakdown of people who actually vote? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what pollsters are trying to do at the end of the day, is in order for a poll to be as accurate of a representation of the voting population as possible, it has to look like it, right? And so there are a bunch of different variables that different pollsters will look at to say, okay, we don't have enough whites without college degrees, or we don't have enough African Americans, oh, our sample is too old or it's too young. Demographic variables like those traditionally are the variables that most pollsters weight off of. But in this particular case, Marist weights off of income and Marquette weights off of education, and that may potentially be causing this difference in the result. I'm certainly not saying it's all of it. In fact, it might not be most of it, but it's probably a decent portion of it.
I understand a lot of polls use different definitions of what a likely voter is when they're doing a likely voter poll. Marquette's based on voters certain to vote, as they define that. Marist uses a different model. How do different polls define how likely a person is to vote and whether or not to include them in that poll?
Yeah, I mean, you just hit on two of the differences right there. You know, there are some people who use a cutoff model, which is essentially you're definite to vote, and if you're not, goodbye, we're not including you. There are some that try and weight respondents by their different probabilities of weighting. So that's traditionally, I call that the CBS model, where every single person's response gets included, but some people's responses are weighted up more than others. I should point out that that was probably not the cause of why these two polls differed. Among registered voters, forget likely voters, and you look at Marist, you see that in the Marist poll, when third-party candidates were included, Evers was up by 7, and you look at the Marquette poll among registered voters, and Walker was actually up by 4. So that doesn't seem to be what's causing the difference here, though it is certainly the case that sometimes it's the likely voter screen that does make the difference.
Talking to Harry Enten from CNN, looking at what happens, how we should read it when we see two polls in the same race showing very different results, as we see this week in the race for Wisconsin governor. Harry, something that people argue about a lot, I think anytime a poll comes up, and this is, I know from your Twitter feed, this is something that comes up for you a lot, is the partisan representation. How many Republicans, how many Democrats show up in the sample? How do you handle that?
Well, it really depends, and I think that there are two differences in terms of party affiliation that I should point out. In Wisconsin, there is no party registration, right? Everyone's unaffiliated. So there's nothing really to weight off of in terms of that. That party registration is something that's very different than asking someone in a poll, are you feeling closer to the Democrats right now or closer to the Republicans? I don't like waiting off of that question because that can change, right? Someone may one day feel like they're closer to the Democrats and the next day feel like they're closer to the Republicans. But waiting off of party registration, if it were available in Wisconsin, I think that that could be something that's more solid because we have a solid case of that from a Secretary of State, say, like in the state of New York where I am right now, we have party registration. I would say in Wisconsin, it could be the case that you could perhaps wait off of what was the last party primary they voted in. Neither of these pollsters do that, but that's a potential possibility. But overall, when you're asking a question of, oh, am I a Democrat or Republican, or how do I feel today, that's an attitude. That's not something that most reputable pollsters would wait off of.
Now, there's another set of polls that I don't get to see. I don't know if you ever get to see them, the internal polls that campaigns or parties do. There are rumors, at least among conservative-leaning people in Wisconsin, that their polls, their internal polls, are showing closer to the Marquette poll, a really tight race, than this big Evers lead. Do we ever get a sneak peek behind the curtains at those internal polls?
We do occasionally. You know, campaigns or the campaign committees, the Democratic committees, the Republican committees, may release those internal polls. I should point out, though, that those tend to be unreliable, not because we're saying that they're waiting them to try and make people think something other than is actually the truth, but there tends to be a selective release of them so that Republicans will only release the polls that look good for Republicans and the Democrats will only release the polls that look good for Democrats. So we're not actually getting a random sampling. Obviously that there are some people, you know, like the Cook Political Report or Inside Elections, which are two Washington, D.C.-based firms, who will sometimes get fed that insider information. That helps feed their sort of viewpoints of the races. But usually most in the public don't get to see those. And the few times that they do, those it's not necessarily an accurate representation.
Right. It seems like sometimes you'll see that poll. I'm a candidate. I'm 1 point behind, and I'm releasing that in my fundraising appeals to say, hey, this is the time to give you some money. We're close, but we're falling behind.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, there's a lot of interesting political science around whether or not you would rather show yourself slightly behind or slightly ahead. I believe it actually shows that if you're trying to raise money, you want to be just slightly behind, you know, and we need your money to catch up now. And a lot of campaigns use that, and often quite effectively.
Now, you and a lot of other political watchers out there are trying to do something even more complicated than figure out one race. You're trying to figure out what's going to happen overall in the Senate. So that's like a third of the Senate seats. What's going to happen overall in the House? So you've got all these individual races and how they feed into that. How are you trying to wrangle all those cats?
Well, you know, the fact is we have a great new website up at CNN right now, cnn.com/forecast. And essentially what we do is we take a look at all the polling data. We take a look at fundamentals such as, you know, how the district or state voted in the past, how much money has been raised by the candidates, as well as also those race ratings that I mentioned to you earlier that are created by those who might have an insight into what the internal polls are saying. And we basically add all of those up across races, and we see how accurate they've been at this point in predicting the actual outcome. And then we try to correctly model the error to say, okay, we believe that this outcome is most likely overall, but it could be as good as this or as bad as this for the Democrats and Republicans.
What is, as of today, the most likely outcome in either House?
In the House of Representatives, the most likely outcome is that Democrats take control, according to the estimate that we have, with 229 seats. But they may fall well short of that with only 205. Of course, you need 218 to control the House. And then in the Senate, we think that Republicans will actually pick up a seat. They're at 51 now. We think they'll pick up a seat and go to 52. But again, there's an outside shot that Democrats could, in fact, get control. But that's looking like a true outside shot at this time.
All right, Harry, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Harry Enten, senior writer and analyst at CNN Politics, talking to us about how to make sense of poll results when those results are drastically different from one another in the same race.